The first reading comes from the book of Amos, chapter 8, starting at verse 4, and I'm reading to you from the NLT translation. Listen to this, you who rob the poor and trample down the needy. You can't wait for the Sabbath day to be over and the religious festivals to end so you can get back to cheating the helpless. You measure out grain with dishonest measures and cheat the buyer with dishonest scales. And you mix the grain you sell with chaff swept from the floor. Then you enslave poor people for one piece of silver or a pair of sandals. Now the Lord has sworn this oath by his own name, the pride of Israel. I will never forget the wicked things you have done. This is the word of the Lord.
And the second reading is taken from the first letter to Timothy, chapter 2, verses 1 to 7. Instructions concerning prayer and worship. I urge then, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and mankind, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all people. This has now been witnessed to us at the proper time. And for this purpose I was appointed a herald and an apostle. I'm telling the truth, I'm not lying, and a true and faithful teacher of the Gentiles. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Thanks be to God.
Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Then Jesus said to the disciples, there was a rich man who had a manager, and charges were brought to him that this man was squandering his property. So he summoned him and said to him, what is it that I hear about you? Give me an account of your management, because you cannot be my manager any longer. Then the manager said to himself, what will I do now that my master is taking the position away from me? I am not strong enough to dig, and I am ashamed to beg. I have decided what to do so that, when I am dismissed as manager, people may welcome me into their homes. So, summoning his master debtors one by one, he asked the first, how much do you owe my master? He answered, 100 jugs of olive oil. He said to him, take your bill, sit down quickly, and make it 50. Then he asked another, and how much do you owe? He replied, 100 containers of wheat. He said to him, take your bill and make it 80. And his master commended the dishonest manager because he had acted shrewdly. For the children of this age are more shrewd in dealing with their own generation than are the children of light. And I tell you, make friends for yourselves by means of dishonest wealth, so that when it is gone, they may welcome you into the eternal homes. Whoever is faithful in a very little is faithful also in much, and whoever is dishonest in a very little is also dishonest in much. If then you have not been faithful with the dishonest wealth, who will entrust you with true riches? And if you have not been faithful with what belongs to another, who will give you what is your own? No slave can serve two masters, for a slave will either hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. We all handle money. Currency is part and parcel of our life on this earth. It is almost impossible to live without money. Someone once said, if you live 80 years, you will spend 50 of those years thinking about money in one way or another. So money is part and parcel of our life on this earth. Jesus told a parable, and the name of the parable is The Dishonest Manager. The parable of the dishonest manager. This parable is a bit complicated, a simple story, but complicated. It is all because Jesus is bringing out a message from a bad example. A dishonest manager, what we can learn. In fact, Jesus is teaching us how to use the wealth that we have in our hand. Now, Paul says in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10, for the love of money is the root of all evil. At one hand, we know that we need money. On the other hand, we know the love of it is dangerous. So we are in dilemma in this, through this parable Jesus is teaching us how to use our wealth. Simple story, a rich man had appointed a manager to take care of his receivables. He was not faithful to his master. He was using the resources, the receivables for his, he helped himself. So his job was going to go. But when we look at this master, the master is so good, wonderful. He gave him the full freedom of all that is entrusted to him. This is the same way with our Lord. He is the owner of everything. All that is entrusted to us is from him. Everything that we have is from him. And he is generous, more than what we can consume, more than what we can enjoy. He gives us. And he gives us the freedom to use it. As this manager was accountable to his master, we are also accountable to all that is given to us. Instead of following master's commandments, instead of obeying his precepts, his commands, he started liking the wealth and he started following the wealth. That was the problem. And that's the same problem we have. We are enjoying all that he has given to us, but instead of looking at the master and listening to him, we start looking at our wealth and we started making wealth as important in our lives. Now, in this story, he had to give account to his master, and the master said, your time is up, now you can go. Give all the account and go. He now realizes that he cannot go and dig. He is old. He cannot go and beg because it is shameful. So he does something very uniquely. He has a small window of time. He has to go and bring the accounts to the master. A small window of time. During that window of time, he does something. What he does, he rearranges the accounts. You have to give 100 jugs of olive oil, 50% is off. If you have to give 100 containers of wheat, 20% is off. What he is saying is that, look, I am doing this. I have reduced your debt. When I am out of work, you must take care of me. That's what he is telling to these people. Now, The master is commending him. The master is saying that, wow, what a great way he took care of his future. How his future is going to be taken care without a salary, and that he is taking care, so the master commended him. Now, Jesus is drawing a lesson for all of us through this bad example. This man had a small window of time, and he had wealth with him even at that time, and he made use of that wealth, made use of that time, so that his future is secure. We have a small window of time. I don't know how long we will have this time. And we have got wealth in our hands. How are we using this time and the wealth so that there will be people in our eternity to welcome us? How are we going to invest this wealth so that we have someone in the eternal life to receive us? That's how Jesus is coming to this point. He says, Jesus in this parable, the children of this age are more shrewd in dealing with their own generation than the children of light. Children of light, you are the children of light. You are the followers of Jesus. Don't you listen to this particular manager? Don't you take his example? He had a small time and he made use of that time to use the wealth for his future. Will you not do it? The second point that I want to make here is about wealth. In our first reading from Amos, Amos is talking about the injustice that is rendered to the people of that time. In fact, Amos is prophesying during the time of Jeroboam II. During Jeroboam II, Israel enjoyed prosperity. Wealth, no border disputes, all borders were peaceful, no big wars, and people could buy costly items. People could buy spices, perfumes, and all the costly things they could buy. Prosperity was seen in Israel. But Amos, a person from southern kingdom, from Judah, when he visited northern kingdom, Israel, he saw that things are not at all good. He saw the poor were ill-treated, the righteous were rejected and ignored, and injustice prevailed in every stage. From the courts to the religious centers, people were obsessed with making money, and they thought that money is what all everything. That's what they thought. And the system was so corrupt that it was only supporting the rich and the greedy. The entire government was so corrupt that it was not at all supporting the poor and the needy, and the rich were getting richer and richer. The greedy were continually making money. And Amos warned. Amos said, this is not going to go. There is no justice. Wealth and justice do not go together here. And Assyrians are going to come and you will be destroyed. That's the prophecy that he gave. And the king, Jeroboam II, ruled for 41 years. And he died at 753 BC. And Assyrians came in 722. 30 years later, the entire Israel was destroyed, or they have been taken to captivity. They thought wealth is what we need, and that did not save them. Can money buy everything? Can money give you everything you want? The answer is no. it is said, you can buy food, but not appetite, medicine, but not health, soft beds, but not sleep, knowledge, but not intelligence, glitter, but not comfort, fun, but not true pleasure, acquaintances, but not friendship, servants, but not faithfulness, gray hair, but not honor, quiet days, but not peace. In short, you can buy the shell of many things, but not the kernel. Money can give you the appearance, but it cannot give you the essence. So someone very beautifully said, empty pockets never held anyone back. Only empty heads and empty hearts can do that. You know, we all handle currency. This is just a paper. We may have thousands of euros in our bank account. They are simply numbers. But when we use this money to help somebody, when we use this money to feed someone, or when we use this money to for the propagation of God's gospel, then this money becomes value. Then it becomes alive and it gives you some results. Otherwise, it is simply a paper. We must understand the limit of money. Jesus in this parable says, money is dishonest wealth. Because it is dishonest. The more you like it, the more it is going to lead you somewhere else. It is dishonest. Don't trust wealth. And also Jesus says in this parable, it fails. It when it is gone. What does that mean when it is gone? It has got its limit. It has no value after the end of our life on this earth or after the end of this earth. It has no value. So it fails. It is dishonest. It has limits. When it is gone, it will be gone. Jesus in this parable also says, be faithful with what is given unto us. So this dishonest wealth is given unto us, but be faithful with that dishonest wealth. Use wisely. Jesus very beautifully says here in this passage, if then you have not been faithful with the dishonest wealth, who will entrust to you the true riches? If we are not faithful with the money that is given to us, if we are misusing it, if we are not using it properly, who is going to give you true riches? What is true riches? The true riches are the Word of God, the treasure. True riches are God's gifts, knowing God and understanding Him. If we are not honest with all that is given to us, then how you will be given the true riches? That's precisely the reason Billy Graham very beautifully said, if a person gets his attitude toward money straightened out, almost all other areas of his life will be straightened out. If we know how to handle our wealth, then we know probably how to handle other areas of our life. So money can be your servant, but it must never become your master. And in this parable, Jesus ends up with this statement, you cannot serve both God and money, because they move in opposite directions. Money says, get. But God says, give. The values are completely different. So how can you work with both? Wealth promises power and control, but in the end, it cannot deliver. It may help for a while, but will eventually fail. Arthur Pink makes this distinction clear. What is the difference between wealth and God? He says, one commands you to walk by faith, the other by sight. One calls you to humility, the other to pride. One sets your affections on things above, the other on things of the earth. One teaches you to keep your conversation in heaven, the other ties you to the dust. One makes you content with what you have, the other enlarges your desires. One calls you to give generously, the other tempts you to withhold. One points you to the needs of others, the other to your own interests. One invites you to seek happiness in the Creator, the other in created things. You cannot serve two masters. You have to either catch the wealth and leave God, or you catch God and allow the wealth to serve God. As I come to the end, I want to finish with a personal note. So if we give all our wealth, how am I going to live? Is that not the question comes to us? To a richest man, this question was asked, how much is enough? He said, a little more. When he said little more, he has already got everything at home, but he wants little more. Is that what we get it in our mind? Are we satisfied with whatever we have gathered? Have you ever hit the rock bottom? Have you ever dried all your resources? I don't think anyone here in this church experienced that. When we experience that, then only we would know how God provides. I had I'm not saying that I dried out all my resources. God has been so good and I have more than what I require. When I was in the seminary, one particular morning, I opened my cupboard and I saw I had nothing. Not even, one paise, nothing. This idea came to me, wow, I don't have anything. But I don't need to worry because my food is provided. I'm living in a seminary and I'm living with a small, meager pocket money given. In the sense, I have to work in the seminary and they would give me. But that thought came, but the thought died down. In the evening, somebody came to me and said, Harrison, go with me. I have to send a fax. It's a long time ago. I think it was 1994. I had to send fax because he did not speak Hindi and I was speaking Hindi. He said, come to me and we had to send fax. So I went with him and he sent the fax and he had to make some calls. In those days, no mobile, so he had to make calls and I arranged everything. And at the end of everything, he gave me 50 rupees, which is a lot of money at that time. I said, no. Normally, I don't accept. I said, I have done this, therefore you are giving me, I don't want. He got angry. He took the money back from me, and then he took 100 rupees and put it in my pocket, and he said, that's yours. Don't talk anymore. So I kept that 100 rupees. I came back home probably very late at night and I usually opened the cupboard to keep things. When I opened the cupboard, that came to my mind. This morning, I thought I didn't have anything and now I have. If you hit the rock bottom, I don't think we will ever hit it, but God is there to provide. But are we faithful to, are we generous to all that is given to us? Someone said, a dollar spent on lunch lasts about 5 hours. A dollar spent on a necktie lasts about 5 weeks. A dollar spent on a cap lasts about 5 months. A dollar spent on an automobile lasts about 8 years. A dollar spent on a railroad lasts about 5 decades. But a dollar spent in God's service lasts forever, lasts for eternity. May the dear Lord help us to cling always to Him and to use our wealth to invest in His kingdom. God bless us all. Amen.